This programme was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio, so some items may be out of date. Phone-in elements of these shows are not available, but if you'd like to comment or give us feedback on our shows, you can tweet us at Love Sport Radio. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com. Alternatively, you can find this and other podcasts on iTunes or Spotify using the keyword Love Sport.
You are listening to the Manchester City Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins. Absolutely delighted to say I'm joined in the studio with Nigel Rothband and Roger Reed from the Man City Show podcast. What an hour we have coming up for you, because let me paint you a picture. This may be radio, but Nigel is wearing a suit. He may have bought it in the dark, but he is looking absolutely delicious. Let me tell you, Roger, what a pleasure it is to meet you. There is so much to discuss where City are at the minute, beating another team that are contending in the Premier League, Chelsea 2-1. Again, Chelsea, 6 wins on the bounce, going great guns in the Premier League at the minute, but Man City getting the better of them. We're going to be talking a little bit about City's strengths and weaknesses, opportunities and threats. I can't wait for that. I could barely spell it, let alone say it. We're also going to be talking to Alex Bennett, who joins us from @footymishmash. Alex is an illustrator who has produced the Manchester City poster, 125 years of City history in one poster. Let me tell you, that is the perfect Christmas present for every City fan. And Newcastle, who are in action tonight, will be joined by ex-Newcastle legend Mick Martin to tell us all about the game against the defending champions. I'm doubting Mick's going to be happy, because they're currently 2-0 down to Aston Villa as they play tonight. But we are joined by Nigel and Roger. So let me start with you, Roger, because you are the guest. Nigel can wait. He's had his moment to shine. It was 2-1 on the weekend. You beat Chelsea. A really good performance. Could have been another goal at the end for Sterling. I'm sure we'll get into VAR again. Yep. I can't wait to get your thoughts. But you've got to be happy with those 3 points there.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, to be fair, to the neutral, it was a great game as well. It was a fantastic game to watch. Chelsea certainly played better than they have done either of the previous two seasons. Because the previous two seasons, we beat them 6-0, and the season before that, they surrendered. Yeah. You know, so it was great to watch a competitive game. The interesting part for me was that City, possession stats-wise, was quite low compared to what we're used to. And there are probably contributory reasons for that. But really, credit to Chelsea, because they played really, really well.
Yeah, credit to Chelsea. Obviously, they're full of confidence, Nigel, full of momentum going into this game. It was Lampard's, let's say, his first test. We know they played Man United at the start of the season, but it was his first game. Now they played Man City, and they wanted to go there and make a statement. Started really well, obviously scoring the goal as well. But it was City that come back. Another test for them in what people already maybe stupidly writing them off in their title league push. But it was the lowest possession stats, as Roger rightly pointed out, for Guardiola. Doesn't matter, it's the 3 points that counts.
Yeah, I mean, just the statistics, it's 46.7%, which is the lowest in all of Pep's 381 top-flight matches. So don't call me Stato for nothing, you see. But yeah, I think, as Roger said, I think to start with, you've got to give Chelsea credit, because it's not every team comes to the Etihad and takes City on, and they did. And I think we predicted that actually on last week's show anyway, so it's probably the best way of doing it. And I thought for half an hour, they looked the better team. They looked more threatening. We know we've got defensive issues, certainly at centre back, and our left back's not great at the moment. And all credit to Chelsea, who I think probably, to be fair, could well have come away with a draw, and that wouldn't have been an unreasonable result.
Yeah, it wouldn't have been an unreasonable result. It's even better than when you still do and get those 3 points. A big part of the show is what you, the fans, have to say. You, the City fans, you can tweet us at Love Sport Radio or call us 0208 7020 558. Let me tell you, that's exactly what you've done tonight, because I'm delighted to say Jonathan has called up. Jonathan from Bushy. City beating Chelsea 2-1. Jonathan, you pleased with that?
Good evening, guys. No, I'm not pleased with that, I have to say. I'm actually a Chelsea fan. I went up to Manchester for the game. And I have to say, it's not often you're coming back from the Etihad disappointed without at least getting a point, you know, let alone all 3 points.
Yeah.
I have to say, I was proud of the performance. And there was a positive for us to take to the game, you know.
Absolutely positive to take from you as a game. Roger highlighted it, the fact that when you've gone to the Etihad recently, obviously the 6-0 drubbing, it's not often you can come away and take positives from a performance, you know, when you play the champions. But 2-1, Frank Lampard, not that look, he wanted a result, he wanted to put points on the board, but there are things to work on here. The foundations are being laid for this young Chelsea side.
Yeah, I think you saw from our control in the first 30 minutes and even how unlucky we were at half-time, not to be in at least level. I thought it showed to come at teams now. He's not trying to... We don't know any other way apart from coming forward at teams. We can't sit back at teams. We're not really capable of what Sarri was trying to implement last year with Lampard and all these new players. They just want to be free. I mean, last year, there's a big change that we've seen coming through now because obviously our drubbing 6-0 last year, I think, it's a big, big improvement, and it's always an upwards trend this year.
And from a sort of City perspective here, Jonathan, I mean, it's kind of, you could argue, kind of the form of champions to sort of not necessarily play at your best. We've talked about the possession stats, the worst in sort of Pep's history, if you like, but we still came away with the points. What was it about City that impressed you? What was it, do you think, that meant that we were able to overcome a very spirited Chelsea performance?
Well, I think with City, especially at the Etihad, you're always going to have chances. We're going to concede chances, we'll accept that. The chances, and that's what came back to bite us by the end, I think. I think the main problem was, for us, we couldn't take our chances, and you could, and I think that's what it came down to at the end of the day. But you did grind out the 3 points, as we say.
Oof, grind out the 3 points. I'm not so sure about that one, Jonathan, but I respect your opinion. Jonathan, let me ask you then. You're playing the defending champions. Everyone goes, oh, City on the weekend. You know, the hardest game, one of the hardest games to have in the Premier League. Would you say then that Chelsea have closed that gap or City have come a little bit back into reach for other teams?
Well, it was a low-quality game, I have to say. And obviously, City don't have their full strength, you know, we saw frailties in both defences, really. But I do think the gap's been closed. I mean, obviously, City aren't showing to be at the level of Liverpool just yet. Not having won every single game. And they are beatable, we know that. I thought we played well. I think the performances have definitely improved this year. Still not quite to match the level of the City, just consistency-wise. I do think we're on an upwards trend. And potentially in a couple of years, we could see when we are allowed transfers in the future. We could see a bridging gap potentially to the same level.
Yeah.
That's what I hope, at least.
Well, that's what the Chelsea fans will be hoping for. Jonathan, really good of you to call up. Thank you for calling in. Roger, let's talk about what Jonathan had to say. He said a game of low quality, something I disagree with.
I disagree with that. I thought to the neutral watching the game, I thought it was excellent. Mm. As I say, particularly because Chelsea wanted to make a go of it, we get so used at the Etihad to watching teams coming and parking the bus, as they say. So it's great to play a proper competitive game. Chelsea they had the chances, you know, but City obviously consolidated. And I've got to be honest, I think that's probably the best that the centre pairing of Fernandinho and Stones have played so far this season. Bearing in mind, Fernandinho hasn't played in that role before this season at all. So I think credit to him. He emerged man of the match. I thought we were really tight at the back, particularly second half, and deserved a win in the end.
Can I mention John Stones as well? Because he comes in for a lot of criticism and people tend to sort of pick up on the mistakes he makes, but very few people recognise when he's had a good game. And okay, he wasn't outstanding, but he's someone we've talked about on the show before who needs game time, needs to build his confidence, and I'm really pleased to see that. He didn't put a foot wrong, he was pretty solid, and clearly we know that Laporte's on his way back, and I'm looking forward to seeing him and Laporte sort of that sort of central defensive pairing. But I thought Stones had a good solid game, and I think, you know, the more game time he has, the more his confidence will be built, and that can only be a good thing.
Yeah, it just shows you what a run of games can do for your confidence, you know, form. It just matters so much, you know, vital reps, vital practice. Let's quickly talk about that stat, because I'm interested in it from another angle. We say the lowest possession of any match under Guardiola for Man City, and yet we're talking about 47%. This isn't 20, 25, 30. Some teams, yeah, the base. We're talking about just under a 50-50 share here, and it's his lowest one. I think it's actually to be applauded in a weird way. Do you understand what I mean there, yes, Nigel? I know we're not used to it from a Pep team, but can you believe we're talking about 47% being the lowest to a big contender in the Premier League?
But if you think about the way City play, Charlie, you understand that we're used to 60, 65, even 70. So to have a number as low as that, at 46.7%, that is something for us to actually discuss and debate and understand why. Now, we've already said Chelsea need some credit, absolutely, for the way they played, absolutely, particularly in that first half an hour. But City were not their best. We had three or four players who were absolutely not their best. You know, we had Mendy, who gave the ball away quite a bit. Sterling had one of his poorest games. A number of people all over the park who did not. We gave the ball away cheaply in a lot of situations. So it wasn't a great performance for City. But we, you know, as Jonathan said, we ground out the result. I think that's a little bit harsh. Mm. But I think for the last sort of 45 second half, we were certainly the stronger side, and we tended to dominate, and we were more of a threat, I guess. But I think we shouldn't just sweep it under the carpet. I think it's something that we should be concerned about, because it is the worst in the whole of Pep's reign. So absolutely something we should be concerned about.
Isn't it a bit of an anomaly, though? Isn't it a bit of a one-off stat, Roger? Because Nigel is absolutely right, but maybe I'm a positive person, but I tend to look at it about, we're talking about key players, Sterling, Mendy, not on their best day, not having the most possession, to a team that have won six Premier League games, yeah, and yet City have still beaten them.
Yeah, I think we've got issues. Obviously, we've got the injuries. We've got one or two players who are coming back from injuries. Rodri, for example, was not up to his usual standards on Saturday, albeit he didn't have a bad game. We missed Bernardo. For me, that was the key factor, because Bernardo, I used the phrase earlier this evening, he has stickability. The ball sticks with him, and we don't surrender possession cheaply when he plays. I think we did miss him.
Mm.
And we lost the ball a little bit when Mahrez and De Bruyne were in possession. So you can understand why the possession stats were perhaps not stacking up with what we used to. But having said that, Guardiola plays the way we play, and it's fantastic to watch.
Yeah, it's absolutely fantastic. Obviously, City worth the 3 points. Could have been 3-1, not 2-1. We don't want to make this show about VAR. Nigel, we've spoken about this at length. You are a current referee. Weirdly, I watched the game on the weekend, and for me, the goal was onside, and I thought this was the majority. It wasn't really a talking point. I've come into Love Sport Towers today. Everyone said it was offside. I'm assuming you two are going to say onside, City, maybe not, but for me, the goal was onside.
Well, Charlie, I think that this is the perfect situation of why VAR is not working. The technology is not smart enough. The frames per second don't really give us a true reflection. We don't really know. And, you know, you can look at those photos, and the line has been drawn, and you can take two different views. You'll have half the people saying it is offside and half of you saying it's not. And it's not an exact science. And it's not, let's be honest, VAR is not working in its current format, and something has to change. And we had the debate on the Man City show earlier this evening, which we recorded the show before we came here, and the team feel really strongly that we probably can't do anything with VAR for the rest of this season. You can't have a third of the games being covered by VAR and two-thirds not. So they're not going to pull the rug now. But something has to happen. Either it is pulled for next year, or there has to be a number of significant changes for people to get the trust back. Mm. And we were having the debate earlier on, and Rog made a really good point that in rugby and in cricket, there's real trust in the system. Mm.
And the NFL in America.
And the NFL, yeah, exactly.
So, and so, tennis.
Yeah, all tennis. Guys.
Absolutely.
Well, let's say every sport that we've just, we've just ruled off five.
But exactly. It's embarrassing. I mean, I love the game. We're all football fans. Mm. We love the game. VAR at the moment is damaging the game because it's embarrassing to other sports
How
fans.
How do we get that back then, Roger?
Well, for me, Nigel's right. The integrity of the game is such that we can't change it mid-season. Mm. But at the end of the season, abolish it. Get rid of it until we've got something that works. It doesn't work. It categorically doesn't work. Not only that, but the video analysis is being done by referees. Sorry, they're not trained in video analysis. We need video analysts to analyse what the decisions are.
And then surely it's just one other person's opinion when it's all subjective anyway.
Correct.
To correct someone else's one opinion is very strange. But listen, I don't want to say football's not a game of millimetres, but decisions like this, look, if it's onside, but it wasn't brought in for that, was it? Because to me, two bodies in a line, that is onside.
Charlie, I'm going to sort of state the law at you now, which, sorry, this
no,
is
please,
me with my referee.
Because so, I feel like I don't know.
But the law states in many situations, if in the opinion of the referee. That's what the law says. Mm. So all we're doing is go from the opinion of the referee to somebody in a porter cabin in Stockley Park. What's his opinion? Mm. And that's why on so many occasions you are going to have one person saying it is offside, not offside. It is a goal. It is a handball. I think in the Stretford game there was kind of a handball as I understand it, and that's about opinion. Half the people will say it hit his arm. Others will say it wasn't handball. Mm. It's about opinion.
And by the way, the linesman, assistant referee, didn't put his flag up until he was instructed to put his flag up by the referee 4 minutes after the goal had been scored.
Well, this is it, and they're almost being made redundant. It's unbelievable. More worrying, all the money in the Premier League, and Nigel's saying they're only in a porter cabin in Stockley Park. I mean, they can't even get a good cup of tea, and it's absolutely crazy the times we live in. We are talking everything on the City Show. Delighted to say we're going to be talking about City strengths, weaknesses, opportunities and threats next.
Love Sport Radio, the station giving fans a voice.
You are listening to the Manchester City Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins. I'm joined in the studio with Nigel Rothband and Roger Reed of the Man City Show podcast. We were just talking about the City and Chelsea game, 2-1 on the weekend. You called in. We heard from Jonathan, a Chelsea fan, saying that Chelsea maybe have bridged that gap a little bit. City have come back into reach. City not on their greatest day, Nigel says. Well, let me tell you, if it's not your greatest day and you're picking up 3 points to a team who are maybe the most informed team in the Premier League, you're doing all right. Later to come, still we're going to be talking to Alex Bennett, who created the illustrator who produced the Manchester City mishmash poster, 125 years of City history. Really delighted when Alex will be on the show, and we'll be looking towards the game against Newcastle on the weekend. Mick Martin, ex-Newcastle, will be joining us. He won't be happy because Newcastle are currently 2-0 down to Aston Villa, but it is a third of the way in the season. We're currently in November. No more international breaks, which is what makes me the most happiest. Even though I don't understand how football works, Nigel tries to teach me every week. I'm still not there. Hopefully I'll get a Christmas book, but it feels like a good time to take stock of City's season so far. And I believe, Roger, looking at their strengths, looking at their weaknesses, you are the man in the know. Please educate me and Nigel.
I'm not sure about that, but yeah, I've done a SWOT analysis: strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, threats. And I thought it'd be appropriate to share it, because the biggest strength, of course, is the squad, the quality of the squad.
The
most of the players, the depth, as you say, most of the players are top quality, world international players. They've got great experience. It's a settled squad. The spirit is fantastic. But what's interesting for me is how the managing directors of the club have actually started looking at the planning forward. And if you look at the squad, we've got essentially four groups. We've got the young groups, the young pretenders, including Angelino, Foden in their late teens or early 20s. We've got the mid-20s, which include Cancelo, Laporte, Stones, people like that. Then we've got those in the late 20s, De Bruyne, Walker, etc. But we've also got six who are in their 30s. Now, this is where I think City are forward planning, because we've got six players. Two of them are goalkeepers, Carson and Bravo, who are 34 and 36 respectively. So we need to be planning to bring a goalkeeper in. That's probably where Muric will come in as number two. But then of the others, we've got David Silva, who retires at the end of the season. The young pretender to take over from him is Foden. We've got Sergio Aguero, the young pretender we've already got to take over from Sergio is Gabriel Jesus. And then we've got Fernandinho, who is now 34, and the young pretender we signed in the summer is Rodrigo. So the forward planning is really good, really strong. What we just need to do now is make sure that future planning-wise, we've got cover for those young pretenders coming in, for those that are going to be hanging up the boots at some point over the next few seasons. So squad-wise, I think we're doing really well. Strength-wise, we're in a good position. We've got big game experience. The players are used to winning. We've got the recruitment and replacement policy is sound and sustainable. The increasing turnover of the club is a real strength, because that will actually make more money available to sign players as well. And obviously that puts us in a healthy position in the market with being regularly in the Champions League. So we've got lots of strengths. Weaknesses. short term, the injuries, I mean, they really are devastating. We've got another one, obviously, Sergio, over the weekend.
Just quickly on the Shrimps, Roger, a couple of questions. Do you think that fans, because it's so good to get an insight like this, the forward planning of the club, as you mentioned, they're great words, young pretenders to the ones that may be retiring, their contracts expiring, they're coming towards the latter stages of their career, the final nine holes, as you would. Do you think that fans, some fans, don't notice this? They don't see this. I'm like, we didn't need a holding midfielder. We needed a striker. We needed a goalkeeper. But the club know what they're doing. We need to trust in the ball that, you know, players are coming to the end. This is a player that maybe not right now is going to be of much benefit to us. But come 18 months, 12 months, this is the player that will fill that void. We're getting it in now. Do you think that fans sometimes don't notice this as much?
I think you're absolutely right, Charlie. Because, for me, to add to what Roger said, when we need to move on to the others as well.
Yeah.
But under strengths, for me, it's the infrastructure that the owners have built. You know, it's not just about the team; it's about the facilities. It's about the women's team. It's about the academy. It's about the whole infrastructure of East Manchester, the employment of local people. Mm. You know, and it's gone from a kind of and the global reach that it's got. So that for me is the kind of the overriding strength. And of course, all of that stuff that you talk about follows on behind that. And they have all of that in place. It's a huge strength to build from.
Yeah.
So I would add that on top of you're right from a playing perspective, but just knowing that we've got the investment, and not just in the players, but in the infrastructure and the whole of that. We go every week, Roger, so you know what it's like there. It's just an amazing complex.
It's a different world altogether. As I said before, they are world international class players, and if you are not up to playing for your national team, you're not going to get in the squad at City these days. You know, I'm sorry.
What about the weakness? Whiz through the weaknesses, because I'm conscious that we've still got strength opportunities.
Weaknesses, I mentioned about the injuries. Obviously, I think at the moment we are missing particularly Sane, Laporte very, very badly. Sergio Aguero has just got injured. He's going to be out for a few more weeks. We've had other key players who've had injuries and some have come back, Rodri and Edison, for example. I think that's affecting us at the moment. Whether we like it or not, we haven't got as many options for replacing players and giving them a break as often.
And I want to put another weakness on top of that. And I think for me, a key weakness for us now is, and I wouldn't have said this last year, is a lack of leadership.
Yeah.
And when you look at Vincent Kompany and what he bought both on and off the field, he is no longer there. And I think the captaincy structure that we have in place at the moment, there is a void. I think you're absolutely right, Charlie. So that for me is a weakness as well.
I agree totally. In terms of opportunities, now here's one for you. I think the atmosphere at the Etihad is still lacking, whether we like it or not. Nigel and I went to the game against Liverpool last winter, and the atmosphere was absolutely brilliant. It's not been like that ever since. And we have to think about how do we make the atmosphere better at the Etihad, because it's worth a gold star. I mean, the fans played their part in beating Liverpool last year.
Absolutely.
I want to ask a question on that. I know some City fans don't really want to speak about this. I brought it up with one of the first shows I did with Nigel, and I must admit, because City fans travel incredibly, they go to away grounds, they are one of the best away fans in the country. At the minute, a lot is being made, rightly or wrongly, and I know sometimes you have a lot of home games on the bats, that it's not always a sellout. You know, all the games are always on TV. Roger, you can see a lot of empty seats. Is this a weakness? Is this a threat to Man City? Why is that? Can we put an answer on that?
Well, it's interesting that you mentioned that. There's no argument from me on that. But having said that, an opportunity for us, as you know, we put another tier on the south stand behind the goal a few years ago. For me, I think the opportunity now, we're proving that there's interest around the world in City. I mean, we go to games and we see supporters from Japan, China, from the States. Every home game, it's fantastic to see. But we really need to be thinking about, is it time to gamble, put an extension on the north stand, do something about encouraging more junior support? I mean, I used to be involved, Nigel used to be involved with the Junior Blues Supporters Club, and we had thousands and thousands of young fans that were members of the Junior Supporters, the Junior Blues Club as it was called. And if we could bring back a revamped Junior Blues, have a section of the ground for Junior Blues and their families, you know, all of a sudden the crowd's going to grow, And the interest is growing in City. I mean, I can remember City winning the league, the FA Cup, the European Cup Winners' Cup in the 69-70 era. And we were getting crowds of 35,000. Mm. We're getting 54, 55,000 regularly now. So that's a real upward curve. We need to keep that upward curve going.
Is it ticket prices driving, obviously, fans out of the game? I know it's a fairly obvious one to make, but it can be. If you're a family and you've got 3-4 kids and they all want to go to the game, very, very difficult, Nigel.
And it's multifaceted, and I think you know the answer to the question, Charlie. It's never one thing. Yeah. Yes, City are in four competitions, so you know you're going to have to. Are you really going to go to the League Cup game and the FA Cup game and the Champions League game? There's a family stand behind one goal, and on a sort of winter's night, on a school night in February, all the kids aren't going to fill those seats, and the parents aren't going to come. We're live on television. There's all sorts of reasons for it. So listen, City are a well-supported club. We maybe don't have the sort of the recent history that some of the other clubs around have, and they've managed to build up their support. But I'm sure in 10, 15, 20 years to come, the strength that Roger was talking about and the infrastructure we put in place and the success that we're having, we build on that. And I'm absolutely convinced that those 65,000 crowds will be at the Etihad with the additional space in the stadium. So we're building that, and the success will help us do that.
Do you want to talk about threats?
Always.
The threats, whether we like it or not, there are real threats at the moment. We've got talk about Sane and Bayern Munich. I know the injury has sort of temporarily halted much talk on that, but there's still a threat there. I think there's another threat as well, actually, because Raheem Sterling is absolutely outstanding. He's on fire at the moment. You look at Eden Hazard going to Real Madrid, I've got a sneaking feeling that there are people in Spain who'll be looking at Raheem Sterling and thinking, he's playing well. Yeah, so I think that's a threat. We obviously are. I gather that the club are talking to Sterling about another contract, another increase in salary, hopefully to tempt him to stay at City. But you can't fault a player's ambition for wanting to go and play for the best in the world. And ultimately, Sane and Sterling, that there is that lingering threat that they may leave City at some point.
And I think, again, another thing to consider, of course, City have been very fortunate. We've had fantastic investors who have committed in the long-term project of the club. I think a big threat could be another big investor coming, or two investors coming to other teams within the Premier League, taking them over, putting major money in, and we could well have sort of a major challenge from a sleeping giant like City was a few years ago. There's no reason why that couldn't happen as well. I think that is a threat. We've seen it from Liverpool, maybe not the sort of investment, but in terms of them growing as a club, And them having the success with a good manager and a good squad.
They're getting stronger. Liverpool are a threat because they're getting stronger in the same way that City got stronger leading up to the last two title winning seasons.
In Liverpool their match day revenue, commercial opportunities.
You've got it. And the other threat, the final one for me, there's a real threat about what do we do when Pep Guardiola leaves. He is the best manager in the history of Manchester City by a million miles. And how do you replace the irreplaceable?
Yeah, and you know what? This is a really interesting one. It almost feels like we're talking about it too soon. Maybe because I'm not even the City fan, but I'm in denial. I don't want to see him go from a league that I enjoy watching his teams play. But it will happen. It does happen. All managers, you know, they don't stay forever. And it will be an impossible task. And, you know, we can't have the conversation now, but almost dread to think it, Nigel.
Well, exactly. And let's not have it now, because let's enjoy it. Let's enjoy it while it lasts. He is absolutely the best manager on the planet. You know, if you think about it, people talked about Vincent Kompany off to Anderlecht, do a great job. Then, of course, that hasn't quite worked out the way we thought it was going to be. Other people are now talking about Brendan Rodgers. But can you really compare Brendan Rodgers with Pep Guardiola? I don't think so. And I think it's going to be a big issue when the time comes. No. There'll be tears.
There will be tears, definitely from you. I'll look forward. I'll make sure they're out on Twitter. You can find it at Love Sport Radio. But I'm delighted to say Alex Bennett will be joining us next.
We've all got one, and we're not afraid to put it on display. Our opinions, that is. Share yours now at Love Sport Radio on Twitter, or call us 0208 70 20 558. Love Sport Radio, your fan station.
You are listening to the Manchester City Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins. I'm joined with Nigel Rothband and Roger Reed of the Man City Show podcast. We were just talking about City strengths, weaknesses, opportunities and threats. What an interesting insight that was from Roger. So good to discuss that with what a third way through the season. Obviously, Man City beating Chelsea 2-1 on the weekend as well. But delighted now to say Alex Bennett joins us from at Footy Mish Mash. Alex is an illustrator who has produced the Man City one, 125 years of City history in one poster, an absolute brilliant Christmas present for every City fan. Alex, it's a real pleasure to have you on tonight. How did you come to getting involved with doing these ideas? You know, all the history, the legacy in the club in one poster.
Good evening, guys. Yeah, I was contacted last November by a graphic designer at Manchester City who I'd spoke to over the years. And he'd seen a earlier version I'd done of a Football Mishmash, which was the entire history of football as a whole, like the global game in one image. So he'd seen that, and I think he'd finally got his way and managed to talk the other guys into me producing one for Manchester City.
Alex, how do you get started on something like this? You clearly start with a blank sheet of paper. How on earth do you start to get all this information? What's the first thing you start with on something as exciting as this?
The first thing I do is I panic. I think, who do I know who supports Man City? And obviously, you can tell by my accent that I'm not from Manchester. Then I'll buy a few, like, few books. Obviously, with the internet coming around, it's absolutely vital now. I go on Twitter, Facebook, I find all the Man City groups, I infiltrate them, I become undercover, and then I find out a bit more about the club. Then when Man City told me that I could start publicising on Twitter about what I'm doing, like start talking about going through all the steps of creating this, that's when you get like the wave of absolutely, the varied suggestions were unbelievable, and that's what makes it really. It's not just about the trophies and the glory. It's about, you know, the dark days and, you know, the pelican landing on the roof in 1968 and stuff like that.
I think I'm right in saying, Alex, that the very first thing you put on that piece of paper was the Aguero goal against QPR. Is that right? Was that kind of your starting point?
Yeah, well, that's because what I've tried to do, I mean, I don't know if you have it in front of you, but what I've tried to do is...
it's too big. We haven't got the space in the studio. I've got it on my wall at home, of course.
Oh, that's good enough. Yeah, so what I've tried to do is... obviously, iconic goals such as that one, I've placed them on the pitch like as and where they've happened. So that one's, it's near enough, just off the centre, just behind the penalty spot. So that goes there and that's staying there. And that works as like a base for me, like expanding outwards, if you know what I mean. And then, later on in the day, I had when Kompany scored the goal against Leicester.
Don't that shoot, Vinny. Young. Vinny, don't shoot.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so that night I thought that's got to go in, so made sure, and I was delighted because I had a space for it. So that's pretty much, you know, 30, 32 yards out on the picture. So that went in as well, in, you know, exactly where it happened.
And how long does it take you to produce something like this, kind of from start to finish, from that blank sheet of paper to the Aguero goal going on to the finished article, which is absolutely full? And we'll come on to some of my favourite bits and maybe some bits that people don't even realise is on there. But how long does something like that take you to produce, Alex?
Yeah, the Man City one was 9 months.
Really?
So, there were a couple of weeks, such as, I mean, it went over Christmas last year where I didn't really do anything, but all in all, it was about 9 months' work. So it's roughly, I mean, I hate saying this, it's 1,500 hours-ish.
Wow.
And I don't know if that's me, you know, staying up at 3 a.m. reading the Man City book or shifting through old match day programmes. I mean, that's drawing time, I'd say.
And do you have kind of a favourite bit on there? Is the one bit that you think, you look at it and think, yeah, I know what that is, and I enjoy doing that bit. Or do you have a favourite piece?
It's, I like the funny bits, of course.
Share some funny bits with us, then.
Okay. Eddie Large being on the bench.
Yep.
I mean, that came quite late in the day. That was a suggestion by Gary James, the club historian, and
we've had Gary on this show. Yeah, we know Gary well.
Yeah, he'd been bugging me for a few weeks. Why haven't you got Eddie Large on? So I got him on quite late in the day. And apparently, he used to say, "I've been sat here for 12 years and I've never got on."
I think I've seen a black and white photo recently. I think that Roger showed me of Malcolm Allison and with Eddie Large next to him there sitting on the bench. It's just, can you imagine today some Mancunian Jason Mountford sort of sitting there next to Pep? It's just not going to happen, is it?
Liam Gallagher or someone, yeah.
Exactly.
I think the thing, it's Roger speaking, Alex, just to say that Nigel kindly got me one of the mishmash, which I think is brilliant, and great credit to you for it. But one of the things I'm amazed at is I gather you're a Watford fan. How on earth did you know what the right moments were? Because speaking as a City fan, you've got all the key moments that me as a City fan would want on the mishmash. I don't know how you've edited it, to be honest.
I mean, there were bits that had to be taken out, to be fair. But I think it's just I've grown up like I'm sure most of you and half the audience listening is that we know about football and we know how clubs work. And I know this is my 11th one I did. But this by far the most. Most enjoyable for me was this one.
Did no one try and wind you up at any point? I mean, a City fan saying, get Michael Fonsec on there because he's a great player that we had in the years gone by.
Well, you say winding up and putting the poor players in, but I did put the poor players in because they are part of the history.
Don't tell them who they are.
Really? I doubt Joe's listening. there's quite a few, aren't there?
And in terms of, you said you've done a few, so just before we come back to the City one, just help us understand the sort of ones that you have done, because obviously there are sports fans listening to this who maybe aren't City fans. So other ones that you've done then, Alex, that people might be interested in?
Yeah, well, as I said just before, I started with a football one, so it's football mishmash. And then I branched out into doing rugby. I even did a wrestling one. And then, obviously, me being a Watford fan, I did a Watford one. And that went quite well. And then West Ham, Spurs, Everton. I'm sure I've missed someone.
Have you done Arsenal?
Oh, yeah, I've just done a smaller version for Arsenal.
Yeah, I bet it's like, what, postage stamp size, probably, for Arsenal, especially.
Yeah, they're not having... They're not having the best of times at the minute, are they? So, I've kept it small.
Yeah. I'll have to make sure Watford are taken away from that training ground then, Alex.
It's not helping us, is it?
Clearly not helping both teams at the minute.
No, Alex,
I don't. Alex, once you've finished the article and you've finished the posters and they're all up, do you ever get fans go, oh, you forgot this moment, like, and you're like, it's all in there? Or do you ever get so far and then go, I really want to put that player over the other corner of the poster now. I don't know how I'm going to get him all the way back there now.
Yeah, well, I said earlier, I start with panic. I end with panic. I'm looking at the image going, I've left out someone. And I'm like I'm looking and go, where's Mike Summerby? Where is he? I thought I put him in. But then I've been looking at it so long, you almost go cross-eyed and you forget what you're looking at. And so I have a tick list of, say, 100, I think from Man City, it was about 140 of the main players that were suggested, and I went through it all again, just double check they're all in there.
Fantastic. I made the point at the beginning that this is a fantastic, Roger's got one, I've got one on our walls, a fantastic Christmas present for any City fan. So how can City fans or partners or mates get one for their friends? What's the best way of getting one of these, Alex?
But the best way, it's sold officially through the club, so just go on I don't know the website actually, is it Man City Store?
Or mancity.com. I'm looking at it now. You can pre-order it now. It's all up there.
Yeah, not pre-order. It's all out. So
okay. It says pre-order. Okay. Yeah, so excuse me. Sorry, Alex.
Okay.
Yeah, perfect. Yeah. It's already at. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's at full price. Is it full price, unlike the Watford fan that the Watford one, I think it's half price already, isn't it? I think it's been reduced, actually.
Yeah, I'll give those away now.
Yeah. good man, Alex. Fantastic.
Yep. Alex, really appreciate you coming on. Don't worry about Nigel. He's banned from next week. VAR, I've just looked at it. Alex, always a pleasure to have you on. Alex Bennett there, the footy mishmash. So many good posters. He's obviously done 11, but the City one, it is already out. Excuse me there. You can't pre-order it. You can order it because it is out, and it is the perfect Christmas present. And I'm looking at it, there's so much action on the field, so many players. It's like looking at the history, 125 years, really special that you've done it and the club took part. Well, it is Newcastle on the weekend, and obviously Man City are in Champions League action because it wasn't just the Premier League returns. That returns, we can look at that game, but we are going to be speaking to Mick Martin, and I've tried to give Mick a bit of time because Newcastle are still playing. They're 2-0 down. Hopefully Mick will join us, but he's not going to be happy.
Love Sport Radio, the station giving fans a voice. The Opposition View on Love Sport.
That's right, it's time for the Opposition View on Love Sport. This is going to be a very interesting one. We are looking at the Man City game with Newcastle on the weekend. City still have a game to play before that, and Newcastle are currently playing now, and it is not good. They are 2-0 down. I'm delighted to say Mick Martin joins us now. He is not going to be the happiest, are you, Mick? Because Newcastle 2-0 down, not a happy return for Steve Bruce. Now it's the champions on the weekend. But firstly, how have Newcastle played tonight?
Oh, they've been very, very young. I thought Villa played well. When you get the first goal, when you're at home and things are looking good, you kick on, and they've done that. Conor Hourihan in particular was outstanding. Jack Grealish in the middle of the park. They've dominated in there, and Isaac Hayden and John Joe Shelby haven't had much say in the game, to be honest with you. But it's all Villa, and it's going to be a well-deserved victory for them tonight.
Yeah, all Villa, obviously. Mick, before we spoke to you, Villa fans calling this game a six-pointer tonight. They've not been on a good run. Newcastle have, though. It was back-to-back wins. They were hoping to make it three. Steve Bruce, something of a mini turnaround, getting a little bit of form out of Newcastle. What have you made of it overall this season?
Well, very, very ordinary start. Huge pressure on the manager to try and sort of, once Rafa Benitez gone, he's got to sort of try and get the crowd on his side first and foremost. And in the first six or seven games, it wasn't to be. But things have picked up over the last couple of weeks with a victory at West Ham and then a victory against Bournemouth, taking you down to Villa Park today. And you're looking to sort of kick on from there. But they've gone back to what I've seen earlier on in the season. They've been pretty ordinary, to be honest with you. And I'm sure Steve Bruce will be very disappointed. I mean, the likes of Joe Linton and Almiron have been disappointing, to say the least. When Almiron came first and I saw him in his first game, I thought he's going to cause huge problems for a lot of defenders because he's quick and he's aggressive. But I don't know, his confidence is low. And what Joe Linton does sort of, frightens me because it's very, very little, to be quite honest with you. And to come with a tag for a £40 million player as a centre-forward to follow the likes of going back over the years, Milburn, Shearer, there's Ferdinand, Andy Cole, all of those miles away from it. So, struggling up there.
Goals seem to be a problem as well, don't they, at the moment, Mick? I mean, is it 11 goals in 12 league games? Languishing in the bottom half of the table. That seems to be a problem?
Well, it is a problem, and the goal scorers invariably become centre-halves. You see Kieran Clarke, who scored two goals over the last two or three games. Between them, the two strikers, Joe Linton and Almiron, have scored one since the start of the season. I mean, and they've paid sort of £60-70 million for the two of them. So that's been a hugely disappointing part of the game for Newcastle. Yeah, if you don't score goals, obviously you've got major, major problems. But as I said, they got Man City coming Saturday and they beat them there last year. So I'm not too sure whether they could do it again. But the way they play tonight suggests to me that they won't.
Where do you think, Mick, the goal threat's going to come against City on Saturday? Do you think it's going to come from set pieces?
Well, of course it will do, because that's where Newcastle have scored their goals. It's not going to come from general play. The problem is you've got a player called Saint-Maximin. He's a wide player and he's quick and he's very, very good on the counter. But the problem is when he gets going on the counter, he's so quick that those who are in support from can't get there quick enough to try and get on the end of the stuff he's got. You understand?
Yeah.
So he has to hesitate And if he hesitates, then the chance is gone, because, I mean, you can't get... Hayden doesn't get there, Shelby doesn't get there. The only one who does will be Almiron. And if he's on his own, it's got to be perfect for him to score. So it's a tough ask.
Do you think confidence is low amongst the strikers as well, Mick? You know yourself as an ex-player.
Yeah. If I was a striker, I'd be very concerned about my situation. If I was Almiron or if I was Joe Linton, certainly so. But I have to say also that, you know, they're only as good as what the players around them give them to get into, onto the end of things, you know. John Joe Shelby on his day will make you four or five chances. When he's not on his day, like he wasn't tonight, he's going to struggle. Hayden breaks up play, doesn't create chances for you, so there you've got a problem straight away. So it's a difficult one to answer that, you know.
You made the point earlier on about last season, of course, and of course it was a massive shock. City scored early, I think, through Aguero, and it sort of it all turned round. So what do Newcastle need to do to get the similar result at the weekend, the early kickoff? I think it's 12:30 kickoff on Saturday. What do Newcastle need to do?
They need to say their prayers on Friday night.
Mick, well, obviously they'll be saying their prayers. I know it's a long time away now because obviously Newcastle have just played. But if you've got one, what is your score prediction for the weekend?
Well, I'd like Newcastle to get something. I hope that a draw could be possible, but I can't see anything other than, even though they're without Aguero, I can't see Newcastle, based on what I've seen tonight against Villa, beating them at home. But they've surprised me on occasions this year when they've played. I thought they'd have no chance. You know, Man United to beat 1-0. Tottenham to beat 1-0, and you know, so you could get lucky and nick something, but it would surprise me hugely if they were to come away with a win against Man City.
Yeah, going to be a big task. Mick, we really appreciate you coming on, especially when the game was on and this late in the evening. Thank you so much. Mick Martin there, ex-Newcastle. Going to be tough for Newcastle, just losing to Aston Villa. And we haven't touched upon it, Nigel, I can't believe it. But Aguero out for a few weeks as well now, injured. That is a big miss, though, for City.
It is, but we've got a very, very fine striker in Gabriel Jesus. And I think it's fair to say that Pep will be rotating those two anyway throughout the season. It means he's going to get a run of games he probably wasn't expecting. But let's not underestimate this lad. He's got a very good games-to-goals ratio, and it'll give him a chance to have a run in the side. And listen, Sergio, he's a legend, isn't he? He's City's all-time leading goal scorer. Of course, any player like that's going to be a miss. But I'm quite looking forward to seeing Gabriel Jesus have a bit of a run in the side. I'm not overly concerned about it.
Bit of a run in the side. It starts, obviously, this week to the Champions League. What do you make of that, Roger, as well? Because we haven't spoke about it, but City going well in the Champions League.
Yeah.
But they have got a game before Newcastle.
Yeah, they've got Shakhtar tomorrow night. And I think we would expect City to have the normal percentage of possession tomorrow night against Shakhtar.
47%.
I think it'll be a bit higher than that.
46.7.
Sorry.
There will be changes as well to the team. I think there'll be three or four changes as a minimum to the team tomorrow
Walker
night.
Kyle Walker to starting goal?
Kyle Walker to starting goal, probably, yeah. I'm sure he'll get a game somewhere. Gundogan will come in, Bernardo will come in, and then probably be a bit of rotation again for the weekend. But I think Nigel's right. Jesus is 22 years of age. He's got a fantastic goals-to-games record already at a very young age. He's the lead striker for Brazil at the age of 22. Come on, he's world class.
Yeah, world class. Hopefully we'll get the chance to show it now. He's going to get a run of teams. Before we get a prediction for Newcastle, prediction for the Champions League, Nigel, for tomorrow.
Listen, City only need a point to win the group. They've got two games to do it. We won 3-0, of course, away at the end of last year. So I think, earlier this year, I think City are firm favourites. I think I'm going 3-0 City.
And it's also, Roger, you know, they get that point, they get the 3 points, they qualify. Great chance to rest the players in the final game.
Absolutely.
When you are in four cups, four formats, another chance to just let those players recover, you know, as it becomes a dead rubber.
Absolutely, yeah. We're a third of the way through a season that's going to see City in, 60 games? If you get the chance to rest players, key players, it's a great opportunity to seize, and I'm sure Pep Guardiola will do that.
Yeah, what's your score prediction?
I think it'll be lower than three. I think it'll be 1 or 2 nil, and then City will just try and dominate possession.
Both sound clean sheets, though, which is always nice. Your Newcastle prediction now, the game on the weekend, the early kickoff. Newcastle are going to want to bounce back.
They are. I think we're going to concede. I think City will continue their good run. I think they'll have a better possession ratio up at Newcastle. I'm going 4-1 City.
4-1 City.
Oh, I think it'll be tighter than that. Newcastle at St James's are a tough one. They will be battling for every single ball. I think it'll be 0-0, 1-0. It'll be close.
Oh, Roger, much more pessimistic than Nigel. Nigel's always optimistic, but we love it, whatever your view is. Well, this has been the Manchester City Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with Nigel Rothband and Roger Reed. As it is every week on Love Sport Radio, every Monday, it is tradition, it is regular, 9 to 10. We talk about everything. It is the City Takeover. Make sure you join us again next week.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news, and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.